we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it's my pleasure to bring you the Word of God today. And so we want to thank you for tuning in. Want to thank Creative AC Solutions for being a part of the support team that makes this broadcast a reality. They function here in the central Brevard County area and work on air conditioning and heaters. If your heater is not working right now, oh, well, you don't really need it. It's been really, really toasty. But if your AC is not working, you might want to give them a call. We also have Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, and they are right here in Rockledge, Florida. They go all throughout the county. Their range is a little more extensive, and the elements that they work on are a little broader than what Creative AC Solutions do. Wyrick does electrical repair as well. And then we have Jits Concrete that helps with block and concrete work. And my goodness, a little over a week ago, I was up in my office and I heard a noise outside, and there were people doing some yard work in the area of the church, and it was mid-afternoon, just brutal, brutal hot, and they were cooling themselves off with the water spigot that we have there at the church. And I said, "Hey, you guys stay cool out there." And they said, we're doing our best. You don't want to be out there pouring concrete right now. You want to leave that to the professionals. They start early. They know how fast the concrete cures, and they will work it and make sure that it gets done correctly. So, and then we also have Teresi Auto Sales. That's been a major help to us personally. And if you need any car repair or need an automobile, they are right there on Clear Lake Road in Cocoa, Florida. So those are some things that we wanted to mention to you today. Now, this coming weekend, we will be preaching the Word again. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have our worship service at 10:30. And then we have our Sunday night service at 6:30. So we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Be praying. Also, we've got a missions team, or one of the ladies from our church happens to be my daughter, who's going on a missions trip in partnership with another church in the Indo-Atlantic area. And so they're going to be traveling down to Belize and ministering for a week, and she's really excited about that. It will be her first missions trip. And then we also have missionaries that are returning to Fiji for a short time in August. So we got a lot of stuff going on. Got kids at youth camp this week that I'll be going to pick up today. And then we have a week of normal schedule. And then we turn right around and have kids going to kids camp the week after that. And then it's only a couple of weeks until school starts back. And all of the parents said yay and amen. So let's get into the Word today. We're going to go to Isaiah, the 26th chapter. Isaiah, the 26th chapter. And verse number 1, it says, "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah." Okay? "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low to the ground. He brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness, O most upright. You weigh the path of the just, yes, in the way of your judgments. O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. That's verse number 9. We're going to end the reading there because that's probably about as far as we will get today if we get that far. So I want to start off by asking you right now, what song are you ready to sing? What's this chapter, this 26th chapter of Isaiah, says, in that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. Judah is the two southernmost tribes. They were the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Benjamin. Judah means praise. And I tell you that God wants to engage you in such a way that you want to sing a song to him. Do you know that the music has a way of penetrating into the very core of our existence? I remember watching a video of a lady who was ministering to a lady in a retirement home, and this lady was not very lucid in her mental faculties. She could not communicate well. But she was a Christian. The lady who was taking care of her was not a Christian, but she knew that this lady was. And the video, as it started off, showed how unresponsive the patient was. But as she started singing, and it would be what we would consider an old children's church song. I mean, it was a song that I sang when I was in children's church, and I don't remember which one it was specifically. It was either Jesus Loves Me or This Little Light of Mine. It was one of those two. I don't remember exactly which one. But as the caregiver sang that song, the patient, who prior to that had not given any awareness of what was going on at all, all of a sudden, she began to sing along with the caregiver, and she began to engage in the motions because that music that she had implanted in her as a child was now coming up. I don't know, maybe this lady had been a children's church worker and had helped teach these songs to kids or helped teach it to her own children. But somehow that song had got down deep into her spirit, and it was time to sing. And she said, I'm going to sing. I've got some songs that when I'm alone, that they're songs that I begin to sing unto the Lord. And so I encourage you, do not excuse yourself from worship. I'm gonna get on all the pastor's good side here. Okay? I know that there is a wide variety of musical taste. And here is what I have studied and found out. And that is that people have an emotional attachment to the music that was being utilized at a milestone event in their walk, whether it was their conversion, whether it was the healing that took place, whether it was the infilling of the Holy Spirit, whatever was going on when there was a growth spurt spiritually, that becomes very personable, or very personal and very meaningful to people. And with that being said, I will say this. We do a great disservice if we completely ignore the songs of the past, because we have a large percentage of the people in our congregations that those songs immediately usher them into the presence of God. Okay? And so that's one side. On the other side, we also need to realize that this song that's being talked about here in Isaiah 26, it was a new song. It was a song that hadn't been sung yet, so God was giving them the words. And so we as a church also cannot get stuck exclusively singing the old songs of the past, because there are people who are still getting saved. There are people who are still growing in the Lord, and the songs of today minister to them. They grew up in a different musical environment, and so it is not an either or situation. It is supposed to be a both and situation. In Revelation, it talks about the song of Moses, and it also talks about singing a new song, the song of the Lamb. And so we need to realize that God has the capability of being praised and worshiped with more than one style of music. There are some churches in larger communities where there's a great array of various cultures that are represented. And so in order to get everyone fully engaged in the worship service, they will sing one song that may be Caribbean in nature. There'll be one song that's more rural in nature and Hispanic in nature. And so there's just a tremendous variety. And so let's not get lazy in our worship. Let's not get legalistic in our worship. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's worship him in spirit and in truth. You say, well, I might not know the song. I might not know the words to the song. Been there, done that. You know what? It doesn't mean it has to stop you from worshiping. You just close your eyes and you begin to listen with your ears and worship with your heart and say, you know what? I might not know the song well enough to sing it, but I understand the heart behind the song well enough to worship to it. And so we try at Merit Assembly of God, we try to work through the process of introducing new music, but we also sing some of the more traditional music. But the thing that we try and do is we want to make sure that the songs are of such a nature that they speak biblical truth, but they're also written in a style that the congregation can participate in. And so don't just stand there with your arms folded. You are robbing yourself of the privilege of worshiping God. God deserves to be worshiped with your voice. There are some people that I know that they have made it their habit that they are going to not show up until after the worship is over. I'm not talking about anybody at our church, but I know that it happens. It says, well, I'm not late. The worship just hasn't finished yet. And when the worship is over, then that's when I want to get there. You are robbing yourself and you are robbing God of the privilege of you praising him beyond your circumstances. And so I just want to encourage you. And so it goes on and it says, we have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. And so you and I, we need to realize that God wants us to be a strong group of people. A city was not meant for one individual to live in. That would be a house. That would be a room. A city is designed for multiple people to dwell in. It would be a large congregation of people, or it would be a smaller congregation of people. It's a place where people gathered. But I can tell you this, I know for a fact that on July the 15th, 2016, God wants more people in heaven. He's got plenty of seats around the banquet table. He's got plenty of reservations that he wants to be made. He's not saying, whoops, don't win any more people to Jesus. Heaven is almost full. That's not what he is saying. He is saying, listen, I don't want any to perish. I want all to come to everlasting life. And so I want you to begin to start praying this over your church and over your family and over your business, that God wants it strong. He wants it empowered. He wants it equipped. He wants it trained intellectually, physically, financially. He wants strength to emanate from those who call him Lord and Savior. So please do not minimize the aspirations, the goals that God has for you. He wants you empowered. A little over a week ago, my daughter and I were having a conversation, and I said, okay, I want to help you like a coach in this situation. I said, I'm going to take my dad hat off and I'm going to put my coach hat on because I believe in your strength. And what do coaches do? Coaches bring even more strength out of the person than what they think themselves. And so God wants us all to operate in strength. And so why don't we start praying for our churches? God, make this a strong church. Make it strong spiritually. Make it strong financially. Make it strong missionally. Make it strong ministry. Make it strong numerically. God, make it strong generationally. May there be the wisdom that comes. May there be the strength and the maturity that is there. And may there be those who are learning and striving to do great things. Let's say, God, let's pray, God, make us strong. I believe that we need to pray for God to make America strong, strong in his might. It is not by power, not by might, not by power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. So we can be strong spiritually. Listen, if you're strong physically, but you're feeble emotionally or mentally and spiritually, that strength will do you no good. If you're strong mentally, but you can't do anything physically, then you're going to have to look for creative ways to be able to impart that wisdom. I heard a story one time about a man who knew how to do the job, but he did not have the physical capabilities to do the job any longer. So he found a partner who had the ability to do it, but didn't have the wisdom to do it. And he taught him step by step how to do everything. That is a partnership where both people are bringing their strength to the table. And so God wants a strength. He says, God will appoint salvation for walls and for bulwarks. That is descriptive of two things. It is descriptive of boundaries, and it is descriptive of protection. And a lot of people don't realize that when you are saved by grace, that God wants to establish boundaries for you, things that you used to do, you no longer have the desire to do. And so I want to ask you, has God established those boundaries for you? But those walls were also there for protection. They were designed to keep the enemy out. See, here is what I have come to the conclusion, and that is the enemy wants to steal. He doesn't want to go through the laborious creative process. He wants to come in as inconspicuously as possible and then continue to gain foothold after foothold after foothold until he has taken dominion over something that is not even his. That is theft. Okay? If you were to look at most of the Ivy League schools, you would find that they were started as conservative Bible colleges where the Word of God was believed and the Word of God was taught. And what would happen is over a period of times or a period of years, the faculty would begin to question the Word of God. They would begin to teach contrary to the Word of God. And so what the conservatives would do is they would say, fine, we will abandon this one and we will go and build this over here. And there was just a chain reaction. They just continued to move and they kept following the same path. Listen, God establishes boundaries in our life to keep the enemy out of our life. He wants to keep the enemy at bay. And so that's what those protections are for. It says here, open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. Now, what can happen is if you keep yourself closed off from everyone who isn't just like you, then you have created a prison for yourself and you are therefore a prisoner. You're safe, but you're in prison. There are a lot of people right now. They have a roof over their head. They get three meals a day, but they're prisoners. They have to get up when they're told to get up. They have to do what they're told, and they don't have any freedoms or liberties other than those that have been granted to them because they are a human being. But they are completely and totally imprisoned. That's not what God wanted for you and I. He says, I want you to be open, but here's what I want you to open the gates for. You and I have the charge of opening our eyes and opening our ears, opening our minds and our understanding, opening up our hearts to whatever it is that we choose to open the door for. But here's what God said to open it for. Open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. Do not open your heart to a liar. Do not open your mind to someone who is not truthful, not honest, who is unrighteous. See, a lot of people begin ministry. They think that they are going to involve themselves on a personal level with a person who is not righteous, who is not a person of integrity, not a person of truth, and that they are going to win them. The scripture says bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, are there examples? Are there anecdotal cases where there has been a person who was unsaved and they started dating a person that was saved and they got saved? Yes, there are some of those cases, but I will tell you this, they're the minority. And they're a drastic minority. They are not the majority. Most of the time, if a believer starts dating an unbeliever, most of the time it has a negative impact upon the believer rather than a positive impact on the unbeliever. The same would be true of business. You don't want to go into business. You don't want to be a partner in business with someone who is unrighteous when you are righteous, because they're not going to do business the same way that you do. People who lie think it's weird that you don't lie. People who are interested in the cares of this world, they think it's strange that you aren't just like them. And so we're going to talk on Monday a little bit about that solution. But right now, I just want to challenge you to look at the situation in your life and say, okay, for whom have I opened up the gate? Because we need to make sure that we are opening the gate for those that God wants us to open the gate for. I doubt that there are too many people who are listening to my voice that when you go to bed at night, you not only leave your door unlocked, but you leave it wide open. Most of the time, most people lock the door and they shut the door because they realize that thieves, people with malicious intent, they are opportunistic. They are looking for easy access. They're looking for cars with unlocked doors. They're looking for cars, believe it or not, with keys left in them and stuff like that. And you know, there used to be a day and time in America where you could function that way. There were places that you could go and you could function that way because everybody knew everybody else. And 90% of the community was going to church and they were striving to live life. But today is not that day. So let me ask you, I'm going to preach to the choir here for just a moment. For what are you opening your ears? Are you opening your ears for things that are going to build up your faith, or are you opening your ears to things that are going to drag you down? Or if they're not going to drag you down spiritually, they will drag you down emotionally and mentally. Okay? If you don't like what you're opening your ears to, then you have control of that. You can shut off the television. You can turn the radio dial, and you can say, you know what? I'm not going to feed on that. There used to be an old saying when I was a youth pastor, and it was this: garbage in causes you to have garbage that comes out. The things that you hear will eventually come out of your mouth. So be careful of what you listen to. Be careful of what you put before your eyes. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. I made a covenant. I'm not going to set before my eyes those things. Let's set before our eyes the things that are going to be righteousness, and they are going to be truth. You see, we're not supposed to be isolated. We're not supposed to be imprisoned and cut off. We're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be increasing and expanding, but we're supposed to be growing in faith, in righteousness, in truth, in ministry. We are supposed to be increasing in the things that God wants us to increase in. And so that's what I want to encourage you. Be looking for people, and this is the next step, not just a defensive, but be looking for people who do stand in righteousness, who do stand in truth. And I encourage you to do this: approach them and see what God will add to your life through building a relationship with them. So that's what we're going to do. Let's not deprive God of worship this weekend. And let's make sure that salvation establishes the boundaries for us so that we behave like we are saved people. And we also recognize that God has entrusted to us the privilege of being a gatekeeper, and open up our hearts and minds and our spirits to those who are in righteousness and truth. Father, we will praise you today, for you are worthy of praise and glory and honor. We worship you in spirit and truth. God, I pray that this week we would be ambassadors who represent you well. And Father, that you will teach us righteousness and truth for your glory. See you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away and purify my heart. Don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my one thing?